SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, about 10 minutes, I'll make it 15 minutes in, and Seth Merrow going to join us. And Seth, of course, he and I recap Travers on Sunday, and then you get the benefit, of course, of a few more days to let everything absorb. And I'm curious for some of his secondary thoughts and also the lead up into closing day, Labor Day, the Woodward coming together really nicely. They're going to have a big bulky field, and actually, I just got the final note from the racing office. Maybe for the first time all meet, they are running every single race that was in the condition book on Saturday. No extras and no supplementals, just the entire card as was written in the condition book. You know, these days, that's tougher and tougher to have happen. So a 12-race card as written in the condition book for Saturday. They've gone final, and they'll get ready for a draw probably after the first race because they closed early, basically here. More or less. So maybe some stragglers potentially, but looking forward to a big Woodward day on Saturday. Seth Merrow, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, looking forward to it. Last week's always nice. The weather's still nice, although it's gone back to the steamy temperatures here, and we'll continue, I guess, maybe through tomorrow, but the weekend looks really nice. The racing holds up, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, should be no shortage of turf, and I'm just looking here at the way this lays out for the Woodward card and the Glens Falls, the Saranac, the Spinaway, and the Woodward. Then a maiden for the two-year-old boys, 7 furlongs. That'll probably feature some top types. There'll be a two-year-old maiden race on the grass. As well, 1/16. Then 3 and up boys, it's going 6.5. How about a inner turf mile? Then a couple of older events, another inner turf allowance, conditional, and 1/8 as well on the main. And then a turf sprint claimer to close things out. So, nice card coming together for Saturday. Seth, before we look at today's pick six sequence, I want you and I will play some ping pong on ideas today for people putting their pick six plays together. Oh, maybe 1.5 million today. Some final thoughts about Saturday.
It was a very good day. I mean, obviously, the weather was gorgeous, which has been an anomaly this year. So that was great. 49,000 people turn out, and they were treated to really good racing. Catholic Boy stamped himself as the solid number two in the three-year-old division, number one among those active. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. You and I had Jonathan Thomas on Sunday, and he said, and has subsequently verify that, you know, the Hill Prince on the turf, maybe they're prepped for the Classic, and that's not something you hear all the time, but with a horse like that, who now has 2 1/4 grade ones under his belt, one on turf, one on dirt in the last two starts, he just becomes an intriguing storyline in this 2018 season. The personal incident, obviously, unfortunately, there was the bumping incident, but if folks can put that aside, still one of the best races of the meet, probably one of the best races of the year. Played out just the way you would want it to, with the two big horses kind of matching up at the top of the stretch and having a ding-dong battle down to the wire. So hopefully, you know, people can kind of step back and recognize that, regardless of what their feelings are on the bumping incident. We had Chuck Lawrence on Sunday. That was fun that he got the two wins up here, the two graded stakes wins for Matt Shera on the front end. Both times they just kind of sat back and let him go out there and float on the front end, but it was, you know, a nice story there for them. Whitmore's a horse I've liked since last year at Oaklawn, and so I thought he was absolutely live in the stakes race on Saturday and lived up to that. Obviously, City of Light took a lot of action, so Whitmore offered a little bit of value, even given how talented he was. And again, we had Ron McQuett on Sunday talking a little bit about the health issues he's battled, so that was a good storyline to see him get the job done with Whitmore. Promises Fulfilled, Dale with an exacta there. Promises Fulfilled over Seven Trumpets. Dale training both of those. That was a nice performance, but Promises Fulfilled certainly steps right up at the top level of that subdivision of three-year-old sprinters. And then the pop effort with the female sprint winner, Marley's Freedom. That was a nice win there as well. So I think you looked at the stakes action on Saturday, and it just verified what we've already seen at the meet. Horses coming out of Saratoga, this happens most every year, will be players in these big fall stakes races, but clearly are going to be players in the various divisions in the Breeders' Cup as well. And that's what you want from a Travers Day.
Yeah, agreed. It had everything you could want and more. And more includes a big finish to the meet, and you and I both enjoy these last few days. It's more subdued, and the town kind of clears out a little bit. We'll have a big Saturday, certainly one big last, 30,000+ crowd, but it'll be a nice way to close out summer. Certainly an opportunity like today with this pick six. Seth, let's go through. Starts with the race five. And you helped last week with people trying to parse down their pick six tickets. What are you starting out with? 3-14, race five.
I went 3-10, 6-4. I put More Mischief on top. It's Chad, and will this horse take too much money given what we saw in the first start? Probably, because it took too much money in the first start. But it was a Chad Brown Firster. Buy into Mischief. They paid $350,000. I'm going to take the stand that the horse will benefit from that first start and may also benefit moving away from a sloppy track. So I'm going to stick there. Not just Chad. Chad plays into it. But for me, Into Mischief is more of a pull. I really like Into Mischief with win early type runners. And obviously for a New York bred to attract $350,000 at a two-year-old sale. So I'm going to give this one more chance. But as I say, we may have the value pulled out of it a little bit as compared to what it did in the first career start. The one that maybe on the numbers is a little more attractive is Midnight's All Right for Jason Service. The career debut over at Monmouth was okay, but clearly benefited from that and moved forward when moved in against Stake Breds last time down at Belmont, and that was a Stake Bred stakes race. So a nice third place finish after having taken a lead late, I think bodes well for this afternoon, and then Chilling with Friends in the third spot. Another one on the numbers just seems logical. Pretty good career debut over this track for Rudy. If the horse can kind of benefit from that and move forward, seems like a logical contender as well. So I went 3-10, 6-4.
And can't argue at any juncture. I would mention that Already Celebrating is worth a look, and bred seemingly to want a little longer distance. Union Rags out of the AP and D Mayor Seattle Society. I liked the comments that Mike Welch and company had. This horse has shown some flashes of ability, and she may come running. I don't know if she can win, but this is 6.5. This is not 5.5 or even 6. So there's an extra 100 yards involved here that a horse from off the pace might come and pick some horses off. This is a tricky start to the sequence, and look at the board for clues. But I certainly agree, Seth, that more mischief. She deserves a mulligan off that first start. She came back and worked well. She did catch slop, and I don't care if you're bred for it or not. That's still a tough experience when you're a debuting young horse. So I'll forgive her for that. Second leg, non-winners of two lifetime for 40 fillies and mares. They're going to turf dash.
I went 5, 8, 4, and 1A. I'm going to take a little shot with strength. If people listen to me enough, they know it's a class move I like quite a bit. I love when horses go from stake bred allowance into open claimer. If it's an open conditional claimer, even better. And a lot of times you do get some odds there. So for me, this is just kind of a class move that is an angle I play quite a bit. You got 12-1 on the morning line. I think that'll hold up. So I'm going a little bit for a price in there with strength on top. Sensible Miss. Miss is clearly the one to beat, the 7-5 morning line favorite. Moves out of allowance and stakes company over the past couple of starts. Broke the maiden and maiden special weight company three back. Then that allowance start subsequently was pretty good. Ambitious last time in the stakes race at Laurel, but drops back into a more likely spot today in this conditional 40 claimer. So I can't disagree with the morning line or disagree that this is probably the horse to beat. And then the Linda Rice horse, Trey Sharmat, in the third spot for me. Kind of draw a line through the last one, the off-the-turf race. But I think two turf sprints just before that probably put this horse right in the thick of things in this group. So for me, 5, 8, 4, and a 1A.
Well, I've got a knockout horse in this second leg, and it's the 10 Loon Lake, John Kimmel for the Bromans, the Tuffelsburg filly, and she's got a murky set of past performances. She tried, Seth. You talk about State Bred Allowance Company and then into the claiming ranks. She broke her maiden at Belmont on July 4th in a 6-furlong turf sprint and then tried the allowance company in an off the turf. So that 49 buyer will scare people away. Joel Rosario gets the call. This is a clever 15-1 shot that I think is really dangerous in here. And at the very least, for those of you that play ABC tickets, I think you need this horse as a on backup tickets. And this is a horse that, if indeed she comes through, she will knock a lot of people out. And the very useful type of horse when it comes to pick six like this. And even if you got a small ticket, I would recommend. The rest of it, I agree with you. I'm going to probably try to tiptoe through here with Loon Lake, the 10, the 8, of course, Sensible Myth, 7-5, and the Engelhart, Jazzy Juder, is my third in here.
I might have to box up the 10 and the 5 now. We both have clever ideas, so I'm going to have to box them up just in case.
I like it. Let's go to the New York Bred Allowance, fillies and mares, 6 on the main. Feels like, to me, Fair Regis is a standout in here. And for Falcone and Irad, there are a couple of players, though, that are on the fringes.
Yeah, I went 4, 3, 2, and 6. I kind of looked around. I wasn't totally convinced on Fair Regis. But buyers play into my handicapping, and on the numbers, this one does stand out a little bit. So, again, I wasn't totally convinced, but I didn't find an alternative that was attractive enough. So I put Fair Regis on top. Out of Orbit, Chester and Mary Broman, Phil Surfey's having a pretty good meet. This one seems to be in pretty good form since the Belmont race three back. That was a maiden breaker, and then an allowance company in the past two. Third, and then second last time. Probably has to step it up number-wise just a little bit, but not too much. Certainly not too much to get underneath Fair Regis, but to win the race, I would imagine probably has to step it up a little bit. But I don't think that's out of the question from what we've seen over the last three. The number that's pretty good most recently is Y'all Wicked, the number 2 horse, but that was up at the Finger Lakes as far as venue class, a venue move. It's really potent the other way, going from Niagara to Finger Lakes. It's a little bit of a negative going the other way, but you know what? At this meet, we've seen it work out pretty well, including the Rudy Barts at $100 plus a couple of days ago that I came this close to using in the Low Rollers contest. I had it down to two horses, and I zigged when I should have zagged there. But, yeah, the Finger Lakes runners have been doing all right. So for me, 4, 3, 2, and 6.
Well, the horse other than Fair Regis that, if you're not going to single Fair Regis, then I thought Lucky Move, the 6, was the other horse that you had to use. And then I played around, actually, off of the 2 that, you know, feel like the horses that you'll key on top. But Mama White Sox, who I was a big boost during one of the off-the-turf days for me, and she comes back here for Sal Iorio, and then she's delightful as well for Bruce Brown, who I think is kind of dirtied up in here. So I'm gonna play with two prices, the 9 and the 10, or the 8 and the 9, I should say, and gonna feather them in underneath the 4 and the 6. Just as if you're not playing multis today, and you want to take a couple of shots. Second half of the pick six sequence, talking with Seth, and we're trying to figure out how to approach this pick six. And here is a very, very tough group. There's some hard hitters, non-winners of 2, or 40,000 statebreds going 7/8. And there's a lot of horses in here that have made hundreds of thousands of dollars. And this looks like a sinkhole on pick six tickets.
I went 2, 1, 11, and 6. The 4 scares me. The caretaker, Chester, Mary Broman, and Kieran coming up a nice win in an allowance non-winners at 1. So I may regret not using the 4. But a little shot with Samadhi Sky going turf to dirt. I think you go back to the last dirt race. It was pretty good. Good enough, perhaps. And the turf to dirt move is just intriguing to me at a little bit of a price, as you say, in a race where you can kind of have arguments for and against a bunch of them. So I'm a little bit off the radar with number 2, Samadhi Sky. Wicked Macho in the second slot for me. Comes down from Woodbine, from the synthetic, but the dirt starts earlier this spring were pretty good, including that 90 buyer. That was on a sloppy track down at Belmont, but that kind of stood out. It was the last time this horse was in similar company versus state bred optional claimers. So that one, again, kind of has a little circle around it for me. And then I went to Stretch of Stone, the Roddy Valenti horse, who, again, if you go back 2 and 3 starts, certainly fits. The last one on the sloppy track, just going to kind of draw a line through that. It was also 2 turns, gets back to what may be the more preferred sprint pep of a race today. So Stretch of Stone also in the mix. For me, 2, 1, 11, and 6.
Well, we're at odds in here because I do like the caretaker, as it happens, and also Candid Desire, who's back with Gary and has looked very good in the mornings preparing for this spot. And the horoscope, too. There were 2 Rudy entrants, and he scratched Summer Bourbon. And this is a move that kind of under the radar you got to be careful with, and the one that he leaves in 8-1 on horoscope, the astrology gelding, and I'm going to use Avino Malcano comes back in here. Not an easy spot to return, but he's also worked great. He's got to face off against elders, and this is an acid test in here, of course, for Al Gold and Maya. Horse that they had some real hopes for last year when he won the Funny Side and tried the Champagne, was 3rd in the Nashua, 3rd in the Bayshore, back in April, and then has had some issues, but it looks like he's ready to run today. So I got 4 horses, and Avinu is 4-1, but after that, 10-1, 8-1, 8-1.
Yeah, Vino had a little buzz at your cookout the other night.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, you got Al Gold, you got Vino. let's go to the stake, and the stake scratched down to six, but it's a good group.
Yeah, it went 8, 7, 9, and 5, another race where I think you can make cases for and against a few of them in here. I did not know what to do with Matt Shearer, of course, coming over from Ireland. 20-1 on the morning line, but hey, that horse could certainly outrun those odds, but I didn't use it in the mix. I went with Opry on top, Todd Pletcher runner, that is still a maiden, steps in the stakes company, ran a close-up third and an off-the-turfer in the career debut, gets on the turf today, and off of that first start, I just thought this horse might be a little bit interesting at a 6-1 morning line price. Some like it hot brown in the second slot. Clearly improved with the move to grass. Nice eight-length win going two turns at Saratoga on the grass. I think that sets the horse up well this afternoon. And Swamp Rat in the third spot. A couple of turf sprints so far lead into this two-turn turf race. I just think this horse might be primed to run well given that scenario. So 8, 7, 9, and 5 for me.
I may end up, depending on how, I know in the pick five, I'll tell you, I may end up hitting the all button with this six. The problem is the 10th, which is a little deep and confusing. So depending on the decisions made there, you know, with only six in here, this becomes a bit of a pace question. And the ones that have run in you know, that we've seen in the with anticipation, other than Gunslinger, who we don't know much about, who's setting the pace here? And it looks to me like Joyful Heart, and somebody better go engage him, Seth, because if they don't, he'll wire. This is a much tougher six-pack than it looks at first glance. So.
Yeah, you absolutely might have nailed it. I mean, you look at those 2-6 furlongs down at Belmont, the 108s. He may just, I mean, they hit the far turn and he starts to open up. You can walk to the window if you have him, or walk away if you don't. You may be absolutely right.
Well, and you got Jose Ortiz, who's about as good in that circumstance as any jock in the country. Let's wrap it up with a absolute terror. Mile and a 16th. These are 3 and up New York breds that they've all had a race or two that is competitive. There's some in here. We may come back next year and they may be winless. This is a mess.
Yeah, I just went with the connections I like. I went 7, 4, 6, and 10, and I like firsters from Chad and Klarovich at Saratoga, but this is a horse they bought last year for a big price at a 2-year-old sale. And clearly, when horses are bought at those 2-year-old sales, you like to see them in the summer, certainly within 6 months of the sale. So to have the belated debut is not necessarily a positive. But again, as you kind of alluded to, it's a race that nothing is jumping off the page at you. So why not go for a fresh face with potent win early connection? So I went there, high conviction on top. Pirelli Tower in the second spot, who has put in a couple of nice numbers as compared to the rest of this field, and I think if we get back to those, we'll be competitive in here. And Curlin's Legacy in the third spot, who seems to be maybe moving in the right direction, kind of improving in the last couple of turf starts, and might be primed for a good try today. But again, in a essentially a very tough kind of wide open competitive field, I went 7, 4, 6, and 10.
And the 7, 4, 6, 10 all, you know, all are major considerations. I completely agree. I said earlier that there might be seven horses that win this, can win this on paper. The one horse I'll add, and it isn't Pirelli Tower, the 7-2 mild favorite. It actually, Jimmy Jazz, Tommy Bush, and Tom is 0-for-18 and has been so unlucky. It is mind-boggling. I've been watching every Bush runner, and he's gotten some dreadful rides, number one, and he's had just some things happen in terms of holes closing and just the horses making the wrong move at the wrong time. And I mean, there's no way Tom Bush goes winless at this meet. Not to take away, I mean, from Mike Luzzi at all, but Joe Bravo takes over. This is the kind of horse that Joe rides well, a horse that's going to come from, you know, middle part or near the back of the pack and rally, first time gelding as well. So Jimmy Jazz needs to be looked at hard and long. That's the five, and he's 8-1. So very, very challenging sequence for big money today as we start the last week of the meet. Seth, before you came on, I did say the one guest I know we're going to have on Sunday is Sam the Bugler as he approaches his last day at the New York Racing Association Monday.
And he has been popping around, as usual, playing for the fans out in the apron and up in the seats and out in the backyard. And I saw last week one day, I don't know what day, but Ernie Munich was filming what I'm assuming will be a feature on probably the MSG sports broadcast. At the end of the day, they had Sam down in the winner's circle sitting and doing some talking, and they were taking what were clearly some artistic shots of Sam playing the bugle. So again, I'm expecting kind of a nice tribute to him via the video coming up this week as well.
Seth, see you this afternoon, and good luck.
Good luck to everybody listening. Let's cash some tickets. The beginning and the end is underway, but as you alluded to, it's a good week up at Saratoga.
Seth Merrill, folks. Seth and I will close out the Capital OTB TV season loose on the lead Sunday. 10 o'clock, and maybe it's a marathon. Maybe we go for 3 hours of TV. No, we haven't gone longer than an hour and a half. That's we're supposed to be on an hour. Let's take our last break. John Parada is going to join us. We'll check in with John. He's getting ready to go to Ireland. And, of course, the Dublin Racing Club team, about two dozen of you that are joined up and enjoying the runners. About 6-7 weeks left in the flat season at the race courses of Ireland. And some of you going over with John. And they're going to hook up there for Champion Week. So we'll talk to John and maybe get a quick snapshot looking ahead to Santa Anita, too. There's a lot going on at the Great Race Place. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet Summer Treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Free registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, It's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races about 10-12 minutes to fill out this Wednesday as we get back into the swing of things and look toward the end of the summer and Saratoga and Del Mar. And we'll start to really focus in tomorrow. And we have the Woodward card and everything, of course, that goes with all the two-year-olds. Same thing out at Del Mar with Futurity and Debutante. And here we've got the hopeful and the spin away. John Parada is joining us, and of course, John getting himself back into the swing of things health wise after a not just a scare, but really a one of those kind of count your blessings circumstances. John, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. Excellent.
Good to hear your voice. Yeah. This summer went rather quickly for me, and I missed Saratoga this year. Last year I was there for the book signing at the Racing Museum with Jen Ferguson. I think that's I was planning on getting up there this summer too, but it didn't fit in. Didn't work out. So
now, just happy that you're that you're walking around, John.
Happy to be anywhere. That's what they say. Yeah, right?
Exactly.
Happy to be anywhere. Yeah.
Exactly. Especially in light of of Monday and with John Asher.
Oh, yeah, I have to extend my condolences to John's family. What a wonderful guy. It's a shame.
Yeah. Well. Wow. You've been on the mend, and it's a good thing, too, because you got a lot to do. There's a lot going on at Santa Anita, and when it comes to the Dublin Racing Club, 20-plus people involved now, and
yes,
about six, 7 weeks left.
Dozen. We have a couple of dozen, and we've got till the middle of October with the flat season. And then, of course, I'd like to enthuse everybody about the jump racing, which actually starts in mid-October and goes into the spring, but they jump all year round. You can find a hurdle or a steeplechase race almost every day in Ireland. And they're just it's a bit different than here because of the configuration of the tracks. You know, and that's why people say, "How do you handicap there?" Well, you can't use conventional, you know, analyzing times and so forth because their tracks are all different shapes and camber comes into play, the shape of the track, and some of them go right-handed, some of them go left-handed, some of them are straightaways. But it's fascinating once you get into it, and looking forward to getting over there in, week after next. And we've had a pretty good season so far. We've had three winners. Rianach won twice, and Uzra won once, and both the mistakes placed. And we have several U.S. breds yet to start. We've got a Scat Daddy filly and a More Than Ready and a Hard Spun. And got a couple in. One's in tomorrow. Murin is in at Tipperary. And there's a track that I think everybody should see. It's kind of like Delaware Park to me. It's one of those tracks that's not mentioned in everybody's conversations, but it's really worth going to. They go the same way we do. They go left. They go right to left there at Tipperary, and it's got a long straightaway. And And then we have a horse running Saturday at the Curra. Patrick Sarsfield is going to make his second start at the Curra against tough competition. But a lot to look forward to. And hoping to meet up with Linda and Paul Daly over there, a couple of club members that are planning to be with us for Champions Weekend, which I'd love to get you there for Champions Meet Weekend, maybe next year. It's 2 days of racing at two different tracks. They're all kind of conjoined in the weekend process, and looking forward to seeing Alpha Centauri running the Matron, 3-year-old filly, 7/8 in her, I guess, you know, one of her final Breeders' Cup preps. Magnificent filly that she is, although we beat her last year.
So. She's in top form. She's scary.
If you look at the ratings, I think there's maybe two horses rated higher than her, you know, older colts that are rated higher than her. And it'll be interesting to see her to come to the United States, too. Looking forward to all that. And as you mentioned, Santa Anita's already looking ahead to Breeders' Cup next year. Some impressive improvements to the clubhouse, especially fourth and fifth floor dining areas that were, you know, kind of old and dated and out of style. They're all ripped apart and they're being put back together right now. We should have them ready for the fall meet, September 27th. There's going to be turf 5/8 turf sprints added, as well as the down the hill. 6.5. It's just a different dimension for turf horses. As you know, we like to use the turf whenever possible. And, like they say, a lot to look forward.
What can you tell everybody? John, we heard, first saw that tidbit about tinkering with a jackpot pick six, which seems sacrilegious in California. Well, what's the status of that?
Well, that's Tim Rufo believes in trying things. We've tried a lot of things over the past year, and some of them worked and some of them didn't. But if they don't work, then you change them. You change them right away. But you have to try, and I agree with that. You do have to try some things. There's so many things that people say, "Oh, that's a terrible idea. That'll never work," and then it does work. The post time, we did the experimentation with post, moving post time earlier, and it had very little effect on the handle, so we moved it back. If something isn't looking to be an improvement, then we move it back. And they've had such success with the Rainbow Pick Six in Florida. I think that's the reason that he wants to try it at the fall meet. And it'll depend on the reaction from the horse players. If they don't play it as he evaluates it, it'll be changed back pronto, I would think. But that's where that's going right now.
All right, that's a development that will certainly. Funny. It was reported a month ago, and there was nobody said anything, and then all of a sudden, in the last couple of days, it seems to have taken root in the consciousness. So I wanted to ask.
We can't deny that he has been extremely successful with a lot of his innovations. So, I tried to second guess him a couple of times and I was wrong. I said, I don't know if this will work. And it'll work. And, it did. So I kind of like, well, okay, I'll put in my 2 cents but you're the leader. But it should be a good meet, the fall meet, coming off of an extremely successful Del Mar as far as numbers go, with handle and everything. So it looks like people are finally realizing that horse racing is a good place to bet.
Well,
rather than going and sticking your money in a slot machine or something, it's actually you get some odds at a racetrack.
No, they've had a great they've had a great summer at Del Mar. I saw a bizarre comment. Somebody yesterday said, it's the worst Del Mar in many years. What meat have you been watching? Bizarre. I mean,
yeah.
You've got a slew of the two-year-old. I mean, it's obvious already how many good two-year-olds are
sure.
already rolling on the West Coast. So it should be.
It's one thing a horse racing has never lacked is people who want to be negative. So it's always been a plethora of negativity, I guess.
There
you
go. Well, John, we'll send people to the Dublin Racing Club, DublinRacingClub.com. There's still room for people to join. There's still a couple of months left of the flat season, and if you want to come, you hear the ad. If you want to come, I can't go this fall, but over the winter for the jumpers, next spring and summer, this is a terrific opportunity. You go to the pubs, and John and Bill Barrich will escort you around, and it should be really fun. I'm anxious to hear the participants going this, this next month. Very cool idea, and that people have already latched onto.
Well, good to talk to you, Steve.
John, we'll talk soon, and I will see you. I'm trying to think of when I'm going to see you.
It'll either be in the fall at Santa Anita or in the winter.
Yeah, no, it'll be the fall.
Somewhere.
Good chance we'll come over, actually, for one of the big days.
John another Perrin, Saratoga everybody. In the books. I know you're modeling another Saratoga in the books. So.
Well, it started to hit me, in fact, this morning. Yeah. It's funny you say
I
that.
I could tell your comments earlier. Like, it's gone again. It's amazing how fast it goes.
Yeah.
Growing up, I used to mark my years by Monmouth Park.
That's right.
Yeah.
Speaking of the fall, too, they drew the opening day card for Kentucky Downs and came up terrific, as expected. The One Dreamer, the Tourist Mile, the Juvenile, and the Juvenile Fillies are the stakes. So if you haven't seen it yet, take a look. And I'll have the final plays up, and the early part of the card is up already, and I'll have the pick six play and late stuff up shortly. Good luck today, everybody. I want to thank Pete and Sid and Dick, Seth, and John. Replay 6 to 9, and I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Steve Haskin, Tony Black, and much more.
Got to go killing all the bees.
Hey-oh!
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Fun in the Sun is ExpressBet Summer Treasure. If you can't make it to the spa or where the surf meets the turf, do the next best thing and play Saratoga and Del Mar with ExpressBet. And while you're at it, don't miss ExpressBet's $100,000 Fun in the Sun handicapping competition. Play Saturdays by making a live $10 win wager on one horse in each of 10 competition races. Each week, top players collect $4,000 for first, $2,000 for second, and $1,000 for third. Plus, based on cumulative earnings throughout the season, the top four finishers will win Pegasus World Cup Handicapping Championship seats, a $12,000 value each. Free registration is now open for account holders only. Don't miss this fantastic opportunity to shoot for some cool Fun in the Sun Saturday summer cash with ExpressBet Saratoga and Del Mar. Visit ExpressBet.com now to open an account and for complete Fun in the Sun details.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.